This is the University Spotlight on Beyond the Headlines. I'm KUNR General Manager David Stipik. Today we'll find out why Nevada is such a geological treasure and an active natural laboratory when it comes to all things geology. Joining me in the studio is University of Nevada, Reno Provost Kevin Carman. Welcome, Kevin.
Thank you, David. Good to be here.
And Dr. Jim Faulds, Professor, State Geologist, and Director of the Nevada Bureau of Mines and Geology. Great to have you in the studio here at KUNR.
Thank you very much.
And we'll get back to you, Jim, in just a moment to find out a little bit more about your background. But first, I want to turn to Kevin. Kevin, give me a sense of why this is such an important topic for today's visit with our listeners.
Well, the state of Nevada, I'm told, is classified among some as the most mountainous state in the United States. It's geologically extremely active. We're going to hear some aspects of that from Jim today, but Jim heads the Nevada Bureau of Mines and Geology, and we all know that mining is an important component of the Nevada economy, but there are many aspects of the geological landscape of Nevada that have significant economic and practical relevance to the state in terms of its economic well-being and in terms of the safety of the citizens. And Jim and the Nevada Bureau of Mines and Geology play a really critical role in serving the state in those capacities.
Jim, how long have you been doing what you're doing in this field in general, and then how long have you been part of the university environment, the campus here?
In the field in general, about 30 years, and I joined UNR in 1997 and became director of the Nevada Bureau of Mines and Geology in 2012.
Talk about your state role and the Nevada Bureau of Mines and Geology. Explain a little bit about that.
Sure. The Bureau of Mines and Geology is the state's geological survey, and just about every state has a state geological survey, and our mission is really quite broad. We're here for public safety, economic development, and really improving the quality of life for the citizens of Nevada. But our role really is assessing mineral resources in the state. Glitzy things like gold, but also other resources, let's say, like lithium. And then on the public safety front, we're analyzing geologic hazards like earthquake faults, landslides, and flood hazards across the state.
Kevin, from your perspective, what do you find in Jim's research here that might be of most interest currently to our listeners and really to the university and our community?
Well, I think we're going to have an opportunity to talk about Jim's work in geothermal energy, and that's where he is really truly a national and international authority on this topic. If I could brag on him a little bit, in 2012, he won an award from the Department of Energy, a federal agency that's very interested in geothermal energy, and his project was selected as the best project in the United States among about 100 peers. So that gives you a sense of the quality of the work that Jim does. He's also a fellow of the Geological Society of America, very, very highly decorated and recognized scholar in addition to this public service work that he does. But right now, he's involved in a project that is a highly competitive project, and it involves a very intensive effort to focus on geothermal energy. And Jim, why don't you tell us about I'll use the acronym, the FORGE project, and you can tell us what that means.
Sure. Yeah, FORGE means Frontier Observatory for Research in Geothermal Energy. And that means sort of taking all of our new technologies and applying them to hot rocks that might be dry. And geothermal needs really heat, as everyone probably understand, but it also needs what the geologists would call permeability, and that simply means how fast fluids flow through rocks. And so you need both the fluids and the heat. And FORGE is applying technologies to sort of harness, let's say, energy from those hot rocks that might be dry and figure out a way that fluids can flow more easily through them. Nevada is very, very rich in geothermal resources, and one of the reasons for that is that we have a high geothermal gradient. The temperature increases rapidly with depth across Nevada. So just about everywhere you go, if you drill down a mile or so, it's going to be hot down there. Okay, but we may not necessarily have the fluids to produce steam to drive the turbines to create the geothermal energy. So we're looking for ways to apply technology to just sort of free up the rocks so that we can basically pump fluids through them because they're already hot, and then we've got the steam.
FORGE, though, is a very competitive program. Mm-hmm. It's unlike any that I've been familiar with. It started out with several competitors at different sites, primarily in the West, I believe. And then very quickly, within a year, I believe, it was narrowed down to a subset of contenders, if you will. And then there's going to be a final selection site for where this project is going to go forward. Is that
correct? And we're actually in phase one of Forge right now. And five sites were selected across the country. And we're involved in two of those sites, the one in Nevada near Fallon, and another one in Eastern California down near Ridgecrest, a place called COSO. And then there's three other projects in the country, one in Oregon, one in Idaho, and one in Utah. There will be a down-select process come next summer to get down to two or three of those sites. And then about a year later, then there'll be a down-selection to the final site.
So at that one site, then, the Department of Energy really plans to focus its resources and expertise to really double down and develop geothermal technology. Is that a fair statement?
That's right. But that's one approach, and that's the approach to release and harness that energy from those rocks that again, are hot, but that they don't have the fluid flow through them, naturally speaking. Okay. The other front that we're working on and been very successful on is the conventional geothermal resources and figuring out ways how to locate them in the subsurface. Everyone knows there's hot springs and steam vents sometimes on the surface, but those are the easy finds. I mean, just like oil and gas deposits, most of our conventional geothermal reservoirs are hidden beneath the surface, and there, you have no idea by looking at the surface that they're actually there. So we're developing techniques to find these reservoirs beneath the surface, and that's the related to the 2012 project, for which we won that award, fortunately, and then we're into subsequent phases of that project now, producing very detailed sort of geothermal assessment maps across the state, and then figuring out where these blind or hidden geothermal reservoirs are beneath the surface.
This is the University Spotlight on Beyond the Headlines. KONR General Manager David Stipik speaking today with University of Nevada, Reno Provost Kevin Carman, along with Dr. Jim Falds, professor with the College of Science, as well as state geologist and director of the Nevada Bureau of Mines and Geology. I want to ask about the overall geothermal potential in our state. We hear a lot these days, a lot of conversations, headlines about wind power, solar power, but geothermal sometimes doesn't necessarily make the headlines. But what is the potential, and are we getting there with all the work that you're doing?
The potential is huge. All accounts say that Nevada has more geothermal resources than any other state. Right now, California produces more geothermal power than Nevada, but we're number two. And the reason there's so much huge potential across the state is kind of the tectonic setting, and when you sort of go down deep in the crust, the temperature increases more rapidly than typical. And this is the case all across Nevada. And we go to California, there's a few hot spots, but nearly the entire state of Nevada has this huge amount of potential. And we're getting there. So even though the economics recently for developing geothermal have not been that great because of the cheap natural gas prices and oil and gas, we still have been increasing the amount of geothermal power produced in the state over the past few years. And just in the past few years, new geothermal plants have opened across the state, and some of the largest geothermal plants we have been developed in just the past couple of years. And some of those have been on top of these blind reservoirs where we don't have the hot springs or steam vents on the surface. That is certainly a strong indication that there's huge potential down the road.
You mentioned mapping of the state. How much of the state is actually mapped for geothermal locations?
Very, very good question. About 20% of the state of Nevada is probably mapped at a sufficient scale to understand where resources like geothermal, gold deposits, et cetera, might exist. And so we still have a lot of work to do on that front.
That the mapping might be a good segue into another aspect of the Bureau's mission, and that's earthquake vulnerability. And I know that you do work on maps of earthquake risks and faults and those sorts of things. But we also have a Nevada seismology laboratory, which is also located here on the campus of the University of Nevada, Reno. And I think it would be interesting for our listeners to hear what your relationship is to the Seismo Lab, as we refer to it, and how your two organizations work together.
Yeah, the two organizations very nicely complement one another. We have a very strong relationship with the Seismo Lab. So what we do is we produce the geologic maps that show us where those earthquake faults exist. And then we overlap with the Seismo Lab because both organizations do study individual faults in terms of understanding the frequency of major earthquakes and the potential magnitude of those earthquakes. And then the Seismo Lab has the monitoring, the instrumentation to actually monitor earthquake activity along the faults. So you can see we do slightly different things, but then we complement each other and also overlap on understanding kind of the earthquake hazards in the state.
Is the earthquake activity, we live in a state that is active for earthquakes. I've experienced some of my first earthquakes here in Nevada and enjoyed them very much. but is there a relationship between the fact that we tend to have lots of earthquakes in Nevada and we also are a place with a lot of geothermal energy? Are those two totally separate issues?
Very, very strong relationship, yeah. So we're the third most seismically active state, and that gives us a lot of geothermal potential because getting the hot water quickly back up to the surface requires sort of active fault zones and also a little bit of dilation, the opening up along the fault zone that allows those fluids to kind of flow more readily, get more quickly up to the surface. And so that earthquake potential, although there's, of course, a negative side to that, there's also a very positive side, and that really is what gives us the high geothermal potential across the region.
And, Jim, let me dovetail onto that because you have said that Nevada is literally the fastest-growing state. Explain what that means literally.
Yeah, Nevada is just an exciting place in many ways. Our landscapes are evolving rapidly. More mountain ranges than any other state except for maybe Alaska. But in terms of growth, we are actually adding about a basketball court per year because of the Earth's crust across Nevada is being stretched apart, and we're actually growing through time. So what's happening is that the tectonic boundary between the Pacific Plate and the North American Plate, most of that is over in California along the San Andreas Fault. And that takes up about 80% of the motion between the two tectonic plates, North America and Pacific Plate. But about 20% of that motion is over in Nevada. Okay, and we know that the San Andreas system, that plate boundary, has a history of jumping inland through time. So, for example, if you go south, it used to be off the coast of Southern California and off the coast of Baja. And then about 5 to 10 million years ago, it kind of jumped inland and now cuts across Southern California and goes through the Gulf of California. And the Gulf of California is there because of that jump in the plate boundary. So the geologic setting of that plate boundary strongly suggests that it will one day jump to the east side of the Sierras. But we're looking way down the road, 7 or 8 million years. We're looking way off into the future, and these are our models. But the Gulf of California will probably propagate northward with that jump in the plate boundary. So we can look forward to beachfront property in Reno down the road 7 or 8 million years.
Invest early. Yeah.
Yeah. get ahead of that curve. You heard it here. Insider tip. Something else that occurred to me as we wrap up here, you mentioned lithium. Some of the resources that are not geothermal, but just the natural resources, minerals and such. Mm-hmm. Is Nevada as big of a playground in terms of those aspects as it is for a geologist in the geothermal area?
Yeah, it's huge. We're the biggest gold producer in the country, produce about 3/4 of the nation's gold. If we were a separate country, we'd be number 3 or 4 in most years mm-hmm. in production of gold in the world. So that's a very, very big industry. And then there's new industries developing, as we all know, electrical automobiles. They need lithium for their batteries. And Nevada is actually the only state right now that is producing lithium. And we actually have very large resources of lithium in the state. Not probably as well understood as gold resources, for example. So some additional research is needed in that regard. But that will be important research because hopefully it will drive help to drive new industries in the state.
I'd like to make sure that we point out that the Nevada Bureau of Mines and Geology is a great example of the statewide mission of the University of Nevada, Reno. We have many programs that serve the entire state, and I don't think we had time to get into it today, but there's a lot of the activity that Jim and his team are involved with are in southern Nevada and Las Vegas and a variety of issues that are very important to their economic development and safety. So it really truly is serves the entire state, and that is consistent with many programs we have at the University of Nevada, Reno. I also want to point out that they're not just a bunch of geek geologists doing maps and surveys, but they're really fully engaged with the educational and research mission of the university. But the faculty in the Nevada Bureau of Mines and Geology teach classes. They teach classes in geology. They have graduate students that they advise and mentor and serve on graduate committees, and are really engaged in the educational and research mission of the university. So in addition to serving the state in the significant ways that you've heard today, they're also part of our overall portfolio of being a research and teaching institution and very much engaged with that. That isn't always the case in geological surveys, and I have some experience with that. And so I want to applaud you and your team for the way you really are just great citizens of the university.
Yeah, and thank you very much. And we take that very seriously, to kind of training the next generation of geoscientists to understand Nevada's resources, our natural hazards, et cetera, to, you know, sort of for the betterment of all the citizens of Nevada.
Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. This is the University Spotlight on Beyond the Headlines. KUNR General Manager David Stipik been visiting today about geology and the state of Nevada and all the applications of a lot of research going on right now. University of Nevada, Reno Provost Kevin Carman, as always, thanks for the interview.
Thank you, David.
And thanks for bringing Dr. Jim Falds, professor, state geologist, and director of the Nevada Bureau of Mines and Geology. Jim, it's great to know you, and I've learned a lot in this. I know our listeners have as well. Thanks for sharing that today.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.